Football is great, too. I mean, it's not a charitable event, except if you're one of the players getting paid. But we got to talk some college football and some pro football, too, on the WadeFord.com hotline with our good buddy Joe DeLeon, always nice enough to join me on my Saturday programs and on the weeknights as well. Joe, appreciate the time as always.
Of course, Chris. Always great to connect. And so far, we've got a pretty popping slate of Saturday games. It's going to finish up with that Oklahoma-Tennessee matchup for a great end to the night.
Yeah, let's go back to last night real quick. A really fascinating game, OT finish. Illinois came out of nowhere, kind of, to a 4-0 start. They take down Nebraska and Dylan Raiola, who had another great game, just couldn't match the firepower at the end. Was this more about Illinois asserting their dominance or Nebraska slipping one up?
I think both can be really true in this situation. One, I think it was really proven that Illinois team, defensively, they're tremendous. They play really, really aggressive downhill defense, and their secondary is great. They knew in this game that they didn't need to send a ton of pressure because they knew their secondary was able to create turnovers and force Dylan Raiola, a true freshman, albeit in a very talented one, force him to make those mistakes, like the interception that he had, some of the tight throws that he tried to fit in contested spots, some of the sacks that he took, especially the one in overtime. Where Nebraska did slip up is just that we're reminded Raiola might be this next coming of Patrick Mahomes, but he's still a true freshman. He's still going to make mistakes. He's still going to be risky. I think the future's so bright, and I think the way that they started the year is an indicator that next season's going to be huge for them. But we just need to be patient before the Cornhuskers really start to hit their stride.
We got USC Michigan in the big house. USC, a 4.5-point favorite going into that one. Can Miller Moss put up enough offense at Michigan?
I think that they do. What I keep pointing to for evidence of how this game's going to play out, I think they're covering, based on how Texas played when they went to the big house and they took on Michigan. Now, I know Alex Orji stepping in at quarterback, and that's an unexpected twist that Lincoln Riley and D'Anton Lynn have to prepare for, but we witnessed a team that's very similarly built offensively, explosive receivers, a quick decision-making quarterback, getting the ball out quick. Michigan wasn't able to keep up with them when they went down a couple of scores. They couldn't generate the splash plays to get themselves back into it. I think if Zachariah Branch and Tyron Hudson, if that receiving group puts up enough big plays and they go up by 14, the game's going to be over. Michigan is just not built to scrap their way back into a game unless they take an early lead and they just bleed the clock, which it seems like they're going to try to do with Alex Orji.
Talking all things pro and college ball with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Make sure you check out his stuff there. Only really one game of concern here in the state of Georgia, that is Georgia Tech going to Louisville. They're ranked number 19, 2-0. Does Tech and Haynes King have enough firepower to get in this one, or is Louisville going to roll?
I actually really think that Georgia Tech could win this one, but at the very least, I believe that they're going to cover. They're one of my favorite betting picks this week. I got them at a 10.5-point dog. I don't believe the lines move too much.
I'm actually looking at it at 10 right now, Joe.
Yeah, well, so it moved a little bit, but a lot of people are realizing what I'm realizing here is that Louisville's overhyped. They played two games. We don't have enough evidence to really prove that they're 10 points better than Georgia Tech, who Louisville, very similarly built roster to the one that Florida State has. We could find out if they have some continuity, chemistry issues just like Florida State. More importantly, though, why I think they cover is that they play so good on defense, they're going to get the stops that they need. They're also going to run the ball and bleed out the clock the way that they can to keep that within a close range. So, again, I really think at the very, very least they're going to keep this thing close. That Georgia Tech team proved to me in week zero, that they're a hard out. They are not going to lose by 10 points.
The big one, as you mentioned tonight, number 6, Tennessee at number 15, Oklahoma, 7:30 p.m. kick. They get the ABC ESPN window. I like Tennessee in this one, Joe. I think they're going to be able to hang up some points on Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma's got a decent quarterback situation, but I don't know if they're there yet to hang with Tennessee.
Yeah, Oklahoma's defense under Brent Venables, this might be the best one that Venables has had in his time at Oklahoma. that's really the main factor for if Oklahoma did keep this thing close, and if they did pull out the win, they force some turnovers, they get some big sacks. But I have to ride with Tennessee because Jackson Arnold, while he's made some big plays, it seems like he's not really fully there yet. He's a couple steps behind Nico I, who's been phenomenal. They're not really stretching the field. They're not really taking many aggressive shots. It feels like enough for them to really separate from teams. I think as we saw from Tennessee, they're putting up points in bunches. They're averaging over 300 yards per game on the ground. They are bludgeoning every single team that they play, albeit against a pretty weak schedule to start. There is a pretty clear difference between them and their opponents. Meanwhile, we're watching Oklahoma struggle a little bit with Houston, struggle a little bit with Tulane. I think that Tennessee, like you said, I think they win this game because they just have too many weapons. They've got too much explosiveness for Oklahoma to keep up.
All right, on the NFL side now, let's start here in Atlanta, Sunday Night Football. Chiefs only a three-point favorite coming into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Joe, did you see enough in the Eagles' victory for the Falcons to say that they have a shot at the champs?
I don't think that they're going to beat the Chiefs, but I think that one thing was really truly answered for me with the Falcons. For them to do what they did in week two, that with all of the new faces that are on that team, especially a new quarterback, that they were able to stare down adversity and they were able to come back and win that football game, that's going to be really positive for them in the end of the season. If they can play a good defensive game like the Bengals did last week against the Chiefs, if they can force Mahomes to turn the ball over late, I would feel pretty good about them marching down and scoring again. That was so impressive what Kirk Cousins did. And I think that it's going to pay dividends when they need those close spots for him to make plays and to go on a two-minute drive to win a football game.
Two struggling young quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Anthony Richardson clashed this weekend. Which young QB gets the best there?
Man, this is really a brutal matchup to predict, and it's one of the ones that, just from a betting perspective, I'm definitely staying away from. Logic would dictate that you got to go with the slightly more experienced quarterback, but it feels like the Colts are just struggling to really get their identity on defense right now. They lost to Malik Willis last week, which is unexpected. I think so many people thought that was going to be a gimme for the Colts. And I think seeing the plays that Willis, of all people, was able to make, I feel like Caleb Williams is going to start to get more and more comfortable. Now, I know that he was really pressured hard against the Texans last week, and he was on his back often. I don't think that Colts defensive line, dealing with the injuries that they're seeing and some of the issues that they're working through, I don't think they're going to get after Caleb Williams as much. I wouldn't be shocked if this isn't a game where we're saying, wow, Caleb Williams really made a name for himself, as we were starting to say last game in the first half. He could have a really big performance.
All right, Justin Herbert's a little banged up. The Steelers, we know what their quarterback situation is looking like. Do you like the Chargers to get out of Pittsburgh with a win?
Oh, absolutely. And I know that there's a little bit of a question to be figured out, like you just said there, with Justin Herbert's injury situation. But what's been the key to their success the first 2 weeks has been the fact that they're running the ball so well. Now, I know that having Herbert's important for a matchup like this, especially with a team that's playing such good defense like the Steelers. But if they run the ball with J.K. Dobbins as well as they have in these first two games, I think that they're going to win this game. They don't need those 120 rushing yard performances that we saw from him so far. But if they're able to convert in short areas, they don't need to really outscore them by much because the Steelers aren't really putting up that many points. They're barely getting 15 out. So I think that the Chargers are going to still find a way to win that ball game because of the way that Harbaugh has this rushing attack going.
Talking all things NFL and college football with our good buddy Joe DeLeon. Make sure you check out his work on the socials as well as the Believe Podcast Network. All right, Joe, we'll call this one the Desperation Bowl, Ravens at Cowboys. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, man, talk about desperation because both these teams need to get up off the mat. You know, they both need momentum right now. I think that the Ravens are the type of team that handle adversity a lot better than the Cowboys. We saw that last week, the way that they played against the Saints. It felt like they gave up pretty quickly, and that's against the Saints team that is playing well, but I don't know if they're as good as they've, their point totals have dictated. The Ravens, though, it feels like they just had two tough matchups and then just a brutal ending against the Raiders last week. I think that with everything that they need right now, and again, you mentioned the desperation, needing to get their first win, they're going to pull out that victory and likely a close one.
Did you buy what you saw from Arizona last week? You found the Maserati Marv and Kyler Murray connection after not finding it in week one. They get the Lions coming in, who also need not a desperation win, but you know they could certainly use a dub in this one. Do you like the Cardinals at home?
Yeah, I really like the Cardinals in this situation. And I will say I was impressed, but we have to put into, you know, everything with a grain of salt with their game that they had against the Rams. I mean, they're so battered and banged up. And then on top of that, as the game progressed, they got more injured. So they were really taking advantage of a beat-up team. I think that the Cardinals are going to be a great team this year, and I think that they're going to keep this game close. But I do definitely have to lean going with the Lions because of how well they run the football, and I just don't know if that Cardinals defense is ready to stand up and stop that rushing attack.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, a couple more games here to wrap up in the Falcons division, the NFC South. Do both the Bucs, who are taking on the Broncos at home, and the Saints, who are taking on the Eagles at home, walk out of their buildings 3-0?
Yeah, I think that the Broncos matchup for the Buccaneers is definitely the better of the two. I mean, especially how badly Bo Nix has been playing, and it just feels like they're just such a rookie team right now, and they're contingent on the performances of a rookie quarterback. It's so tough to overcome that by week three. Inversely, though, I'm excited for this Eagles matchup that the Saints have because I think that's going to be really telling for how good that Saints team is. Are we actually going to find out? Are they the real deal? They have put up some ridiculous point totals. They're breaking all these records, 240-point games. Can they actually put up these, you know, the same level of production? Can their offensive line continue to dominate on the ground the way that they did in the first two games against what's going to be a really stout defensive line for the Eagles? That, to me, is like a true, true test. The Buccaneers game's a little bit more of a gimme, but that Eagles matchup, we're going to find out who's the real deal or not.
Appreciate it. As always, Joe, make sure you check him out on socials and the Believe Podcast Network as well. Joe, we'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.